Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Today's radio message is on what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. We read there as Paul closes off the first letter to the church in Corinth, he says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha." Paul, what are you saying here? Do you know, dear friends, what anathema means? It means to be accursed of God. To be accursed of God means to be handed over to God's judicial wrath forever. And the word Maranatha here, found only this one time in the New Testament, seems to serve to underline that curse word. Maranatha is another Aramaic-based word, meaning either the Lord has come, or the Lord is come, or come, Lord. The point is, however you might translate the term Maranatha, it's meant here to underline that the Lord is judge over all, and he has come and is coming again for the final judgment, and to establish his eternal kingdom. How terrible to be left anathema, accursed of God, both now and in that final and eternal day. Do you hear it then, dear friends? Doesn't that sound like a biting, stinging, strong statement from Paul here? Certainly not seeker-friendly at the close of his letter of 1 Corinthians. Isn't it a somewhat shocking and breath-stopping statement for you too? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. Does this grab your attention as well? And will you with me consider more what Paul means with this verse, 1 Corinthians 16:22? How came the tender-hearted Paul, as another put it, to throw these red-hot words at the Corinthians? Well, this explains now our theme for this message, being, how is 1 Corinthians 16:22 gospel preaching? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, accursed of God. Come, Lord, or Maranatha. Is this true and God-honoring preaching as God would have us proclaim it as ambassadors of Christ still today? Oh yes, dear friends, here Paul is truly giving us rich and important gospel preaching and teaching. And I want to show that now in seven ways. Don't worry, to help in retaining and remembering the 7 points, we will simply use the first 7 letters of the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So consider now with me how these words, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha, show us here, for one, Paul preaching the gospel with authority. Our text, 1 Corinthians 16:22, shows us Paul speaking with authority and in adoration for the advancement of the one and only gospel of Jesus Christ. Here we must not miss that most of the letter to 1 Corinthians was written by a secretary or scribe that Paul used. But now, Paul, as verse 21 states, just before ending the first letter to the church in Corinth, he himself takes up the pen and for emphasis wants to write something yet with apostolic authority and as Holy Spirit anointed ambassador of Christ. The whole letter, of course, has authority, but Paul now will write with his own hand something yet. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul describes himself and all other ordained preachers as ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. In the first letter of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul begins his letter to the church in Corinth, writing, "I, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God." What is it that Paul will stress then here above all? He stresses that Jesus Christ the Lord is not someone to discount or deny, but someone to trust and obey and to love with all your mind and heart. Not to do so is unworthy of the Savior and will only bring us in judgment. So Paul closes the letter with this last authoritative appeal to hear and believe and truly follow the only gospel of Jesus Christ. We understand the text wrongly if we see it only as a biting or even unkind curse word for unbelievers. No, it is a gospel word addressed especially to church people for them to make sure to uphold and love the gospel for all its worth. Don't we all need this Christian faith perspective and persuasion if it is well with us as confessing Christians and Christian church today too? The gospel message comes with divine authority. Let's not forget this. You and I are not following cunningly devised fables of men or just another false religion of man's own making when under the Christian gospel ministry. How crucial that you and I be truly and totally convinced of this as well. 1 Corinthians 16:22 is gospel preaching with authority, that first of all. But notice secondly, again also from the context, Paul says this with brotherly love for all who hear. Brotherly love. When you read the letters of Paul to the church in Corinth, you soon find out this church was not an easy congregation for Paul. But how he loved them still. Not only were there all kinds of mistaken views in the congregation, but also conflict, struggles, and tensions between people, including many unkind criticisms toward Paul himself. You might think then that Paul ends the letter to the church in Corinth after writing in regards to their problems, that he ends now in some frustration and irritation against the church people in Corinth. So you might wrongly interpret 1 Corinthians 16:22 as Paul just lashing out at them. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. It would almost be understandable, wouldn't it, if this was, as it were, one final impatient stick-it-to-them remark. But oh no, that's not the way it is. How do we know for sure that is not the case here, and that in fact the very opposite is the case? Well, look at the very last verse Paul wrote, right in connection with our text. My love, he says, be with you all in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul assures them of his hearty love towards them, his brotherly affection for each and all of them. In this letter of 1 Corinthians, we also have, don't we, that famous chapter 13, which you may know is all about true Christian love, Christ-like love, and the calling of believers to show that to one another in the church, and even to reflect the same to those outside the church and to the lost around us. In his second letter to this same church, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, the apostle mentions about very gladly spending himself and being spent in gospel ministry to them. Though, the more abundantly I love you, he says, the less I be loved. So let us be certain of this then, and learn from this too, dear friends, that where there is gospel preaching, it is gospel preaching always with authority and with brotherly love, brotherly care for all who are being addressed. Let us move to our third point and see how this verse is gospel preaching with clarity too. What Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:22 is gospel preaching with authority, brotherly love, and with clarity. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. To learn the clarity here, notice, for instance, the apostle declares the full gospel message just in giving us three of the main names of the Savior of sinners, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Savior proclaimed in gospel preaching? He is none other than Jesus, that name which means Savior. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, Joseph gets told in Matthew 1:21, before Jesus' birth. Then his title Christ makes clear Jesus the Savior is not a self-appointed deliverer and redeemer, but no, He's the Savior sent from God the Father and anointed with the Holy Spirit. Come, in other words, as God-sent Son and Savior, and fully equipped to serve as Almighty and only Savior of sinners, sinners such as we, you and me. The name Christ means the Anointed One, and as the Christ, Jesus, is the long-promised Messiah God, anointed by the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet, our only high priest, and our eternal king. What is the simple gospel message here then, just in Jesus' names? Well, we need the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins and sinfulness, or we will perish forever under the just wrath of God. As the Bible teaches us clearly, we were created by a loving, holy God expressly for the special purpose to know God and to enjoy Him and to love and serve Him and reflect Him in all our ways. But as told to us in Genesis 3 and following, Adam and Eve wickedly rebelled against God, their Creator, and they fell at the temptation of Satan, with the sad result that now this whole world is under the curse and corruption and condemnation of God left to itself because of our sins and sinfulness. We sinners need an almighty Savior to save us from our sins. Never can we save ourselves either, for we have fallen so deeply, and God cannot accept anything from us by nature, for all we ever do, even when Christians, is all now stained still with our sins and sinfulness. Having fallen into sin, we have become corrupted and depraved in sin, and never can we recover ourselves, but instead we only make things worse left to ourselves. But here the great gospel tidings may be declared, which the Lord began to tell and reveal even the day Adam and Eve fell into sin. God would Himself provide the Savior for sinners, the promised seed, the exact Savior we need for hopeless, helpless, hell-worthy sinners such as we. And that Savior, we know, was born in the fullness of time, the great seed of the woman, the great Son of David, the Son of God and Son of Man in one person, our Emmanuel, God with us. And His name Jesus tells us His special purpose in coming, and His title Christ proclaims to us Jesus' special fitness and abilities fully to serve as perfect Savior for us. Jesus Christ alone can renew and restore and rebuild God's image in our lives. He alone can save us from our sins. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, says Paul in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that Paul then here refers to the Savior also as Lord reminds us that Jesus Christ, as the crucified and risen Savior of sinners, has indeed accomplished full salvation for sinners like us. He has conquered sin and Satan and death and hell. And by His once-for-all sacrifice, we may have complete remission from all our sins, and we may be restored and reconciled to God, even for all who repent of sin and trust and follow Him. Sinners still today, yes, including you now, hearing this broadcast, on whatever station, you may yet be reconciled to God and forever accepted and adopted as His dear children. Be forgiven all your sins through this Jesus Christ the Lord as Savior of sinners. Oh, this is the clear gospel message. Paul would speak with clarity the gospel truth as he ends his letter to the church in Corinth. Here too we need to stress the word love in the text. 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. How many people there are, church people too, who overall may know about Christ and can discuss about Christ and be busy with the things of Christ and be involved in religious worship rituals in view of Christ. But the all-important matter is, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Lovest thou me? Jesus asked Peter three times, as we can read in John 21, to which Peter responded, thou knowest, Lord, that I love thee. I ask, does the Lord know that you love Him, dear friends? That's the question. Does God see that you truly love Him? Shouldn't we love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything or anyone at all times? Here let us go to the fourth point about Paul adding 1 Corinthians 16:22 by his own hand. He did so for gospel preaching also in defense of the gospel, or with devotion to the gospel. In gospel defense and devotion, Paul adds this verse before he closes because the apostle, we may believe, was very intent and diligent to keep his hearers tuned to what is all important and to watch out for error and false Christianity. Here, think with me how in his letter to the church in Galatia, in Galatians 1 verse 8 to 9, the same apostle writes to them passionately saying, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again," says Paul, "if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." The same word for accursed as anathema is used here as in our text, 1 Corinthians 16:22. And the point here is, Paul labored in the churches with God's help to prevent by all means the spreading of a false gospel which twisted and perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace. In the church of Galatia, there were some preaching a salvation dependent somehow on works we do, and the apostle spoke strongly against that in defense of the true gospel message of salvation by grace alone, in and through Christ Jesus alone, through faith in him. So likewise, though in a different form in Corinth, Paul confronted those Christians there and church people who were repeatedly pushing and promoting human wisdom and human gifts and human speakers and other things of self and this world as all possible parts of the Christian faith and gospel message. Paul had to respond and say no to that all. The whole gospel is found all in the Lord Jesus Christ, as given to us by God the Father and anointed by the Holy Spirit. And nothing of ourselves is included. Nothing of ourselves should glory in God's presence, emphasized Paul constantly. But, as he writes in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 to 31, but of him, God Almighty, gracious and glorious, of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Do you see then how when Paul ends this first letter to the church in Corinth, saying, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha, he is preaching the gospel, yes, with authority, and with brotherliness, and with clarity, and in defense and devotion to the one and only gospel in this world of sinners. The sad and solemn reality is when people in churches don't love the Lord Jesus Christ above all, then often they become the cause and reasons for the church to become distracted and divided and disturbed and defiled and discouraged and drawn away from the true gospel in the long run. The congregation of Corinth was afflicted much with this trouble by people who said they were followers of Christ, or believed they were, when in fact they were following the world and following themselves and even Satan rather than Christ as only Savior and Lord. Paul, with 1 Corinthians 16:22, speaks then in defense of the only gospel message, urging in our text that false, hypocritical church people in Corinth and anywhere not think to be blessed, but accursed still, if they will not repent of sin and trust only and love truly the Lord Jesus Christ. This brings me also to our next point, the fifth reason why surely Paul added this verse at the end of his first letter to the church in Corinth. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. That fifth reason is Paul would preach the gospel with earnestness. He knew in all gospel preaching he was preaching as a dying man to dying people, and that after this life comes the last and final judgment day and an eternity in one of two places, either in heaven or hell. So in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, for instance, we hear Paul saying in all earnestness, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And in that same chapter, in verse 20, we hear him saying, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Again, in that same chapter, in the second letter to the same church in Corinth, Paul writes about his gospel ministry to them and to all people, saying, the love of Christ constrains us. You could also translate, it compelled them, absorbed them, urged them in gospel ministry, knowing that to live apart from Christ is death and hell, but to trust and follow him and to love him is life and fullness of life and eternal life by God's grace. Oh, don't we live in a time, dear friends, when the earnestness with gospel preaching is much more rare than common? How often in church services today, unless there's humor and entertainment as part of the service, along with lots of stirring music and fashionable orchestra, people are not interested. In how many churches, sadly, you won't find the worship services reflecting the solemnity of the gospel message. And you won't hear in the preaching about the two ways, either believing or not believing. You won't hear the earnest gospel call, seeing the infinite necessity of being saved truly by Jesus and loving him above all and preparing for the eternal world to come. Sadly, in some churches, the Holy Bible is hardly read, and preaching of the word is not central but peripheral to so much else. But listen, dear friends, the gospel message is ever so earnest and serious matter. We need more preaching about the sinfulness of sin and conviction of sin and the call to repentance and the reality of the holiness of God and the certainty of judgment to come. Preachers need to be earnest with the word of God and earnest with people and the only gospel message for sinners. 1 Corinthians 16:22 is gospel preaching with earnestness. Why? Well, it proclaims only one way of salvation, one escape from hell, and one way of living rightly. And if you won't follow that way, if you will not repent and be converted, listen, the Lord has come and is coming again. And before you know it, the final and eternal judgment day will be here. And if you are not in Christ, then what then? Oh, in that light, will you hear now this gospel preaching, even over the airwaves, coming to you in Jesus' name? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. A sixth reason for 1 Corinthians 16:22 is that Paul here shows us gospel preaching with faithfulness too. Faithfulness. Faithful gospel preaching emphasizes and repeatedly proclaims Christ Jesus and the two ways in regards to him. The gospel message is a two-edged sword. You either love Christ or you loathe him or only pay lip service to him. You either trust and obey him or you distrust and disobey him. You either cherish Christ and serve him above all or you mostly discount him and serve yourself and this world above all. Where are you at in this all-important matter, dear friends? Isn't the great problem in the Christian West, especially, that so many call themselves Christians, but how many love the Lord Jesus Christ above all, and having everything else in life secondary to him, and his worship, and his service, and his praise, and his word in our lives? As in the Old Testament, the Lord must complain, people pay lip service to me, but their hearts and lives are estranged from me. What about you in this regard? Paul knew in all his gospel ministry, it's all important people be truly converted to God as made known to us in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. We are either truly attached to Christ Jesus or not. If still detached from him and not trusting and following and loving him above all, it means being yet lost in your sins, guilty and condemned, headed for eternal judgment in hell if you should so continue to live and to die. There is no deliverance from sin and evil and from judgment to come apart from Jesus Christ and belonging to him in true faith. While faithful preaching holds Christ Jesus high as only Savior of sinners and calls for and presses for true conversion before him, showing itself in loving Jesus above all, unquestionably and steadfastly, and living by his word and will. Paul, ending the way he does in his first letter to the Corinthians, saying, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha," is both a very solemn warning, but also a very gracious invitation still. Yes, be sure to catch this. The apostle here is not wishing for anyone to be cursed forever. No, but that all hear the gospel message and repent of sin and believe in Christ and find true love excelling forevermore in and from him, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. Paul's preaching was directed by the Holy Spirit and patterned after the greatest, most gracious preacher, Jesus Christ, the Lord himself. All faithful preaching is thus also God-glorifying preaching, which is our seventh and last point. God-glorifying preaching in the name of Jesus in submission to all God's word and out to direct people for a first time or anew in the way of heart relationship with God and full allegiance and devotion to him and with eternal expectation from him. It's preaching that also calls for living all out for God and good while we live here on earth, the relatively brief time we do before entering a never-ending eternity. If you love me, says Jesus, keep my commandments. And that's what God's true people do and seek to do. Is that what your life reflects to, I ask? Well, there you have our A, B, C, D, E, F, G points on 1 Corinthians 16:22. Don't they prove this verse is gospel preaching indeed? And having such preaching now brought to us even through this radio message, will it show in us listening, and yes, in us, you and I, by God's grace, loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves? Listen, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Oh, hear now this gospel preaching, won't you, coming to you with such authority and brotherly love and clarity and in defense of the gospel and in such earnestness and faithfulness and all for God's glory. Thanks be unto God for his precious gospel, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com. and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.